think that it would be really, really nice if I could be a celebrity. Maybe not, you know, top billing, highest earnings celebrity level, but maybe, you know, somewhere middle of the packish. You know, enough to get my name maybe second on a billing at a movie theater, movie or something like that, or enough that when I walk into a room, people just don't ignore me, but maybe say, "Hey, there's that guy who looks like that other guy. Let's get his autograph too." You know, something a little bit, you know, the celebrity status. I think it'd be kind of fun. You know, I'd get invited to the fancy parties. I'd get to rub shoulders with other celebrities. That'd be really cool. I'd collect autographs. That'd be fun. You know, and of course the money that comes along with celebrity status, that would be all right too. I would think those millions of dollars, I could deal with that. But then I also realized that, you know, with the perks of celebrity, there's also some challenges. There's the glass bowl lifestyle, where everyone is watching you. There's cameras constantly all around a celebrity. It would be all around me, all around watching and waiting to see what I'd do next, who I would talk to next, and if they could find a way to embroil me in the latest scandal, I'm sure that they probably would if I was a celebrity. So weighing the two, maybe I don't want to be so much a celebrity after all. Jesus wasn't so lucky. See, Jesus, because of what he did and how he did his ministry, he ended up having celebrity-like status. There are people that wanted him to be king, and there are people that wanted him to fall from heights down to the lowest depths. If there was a tabloid in Jesus' day, I bet you he would have been front page every single edition. So he knew what that was all about. He knew what it was like to be watched. He knew what it was like to have people wonder what he was going to say next or where he would be. The problem is his fame was fickle. Some elevated, as I said, to celebrity, and some looked for any way to see him fail. I imagine that Jesus would have been tired of that after a while. But even in being tired of that, he never hid from it. Luke chapter 14, we have Jesus in another one of these celebrity moments. Celebrity being watched moments. Now, the irony, there's a lot of different ironies in this passage, but the irony in this passage is that Jesus has been invited to a party by the Pharisees, one of the lead Pharisees. These are the same people who he constantly opposed and who constantly were trying to denounce him and get him out of the way. And yet here he is, celebrity status Jesus, because you always want to have a celebrity at your party, being invited to this party. And in verse 1 that I read there, we discover that the people are watching him to see what he would do. He is the center of attention at this party. Doesn't matter where he sits, doesn't matter whether he stands in the corner, he is the center. But little did those people know that Jesus is also watching them. So we know from Luke's account that Jesus was being watched. It said so. It says right there, when Jesus noticed that all who'd come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head table, he gave this advice. He's watching what's going on. And we also know that in a quick read of verses 2 to 6, which I didn't read, but you can give a quick glance there, that someone at this party had been planted as a trap for Jesus. You see, the trap was to see if Jesus was going to break a Sabbath law. And so the Pharisee invited, "Hey, Jesus, come to my party on the Sabbath. There's a problem there. And we're going to plant this sick person in the midst to see if you'll break the Sabbath law by healing him." And you can read how Jesus handled that particular trap. And then following that trap, it's a shift, it's same party, but it's a weird shift that goes on because Jesus goes from challenging the Pharisees on what Sabbath law is to offering a bit of advice on party etiquette. I don't know how that leap gets made, but it gets made. You see, while the people were observing Jesus, as I said, Jesus was observing them. And he noticed that there was a tension in the room. He noticed that there was that the tension was founded on the idea of honor and pride of place. Now, culturally, this is a shame honor kind of society. Personal honor is a big deal. And if you lose that honor, if you are seen as less in someone else's eyes, it's a great shame for them. We don't always understand that as well in our North American or Canadian culture, but in the Israeli culture, this was a big deal. And so the people at the party, they're all vying to place themselves in positions of honor so that they would be noticed more, be able to boost their pride, so that they would get better treatment, or maybe even the granting of a favor or two. Maybe for some people at this party, again, trying to jockey for position, trying to figure out how this goes, it was an effort not so much to elevate themselves as it was to ensure that a rival was taken down a peg or two. So this wasn't just a party for fun, this was a party for prestige. And there's Jesus in the midst of it, watching all that goes on. See, now, this is a human tension. This is not a godly moment at this point in our narrative. This is a human struggle. This is a human tension. And you wonder, well, how do I relate to this? Well, let me put it to you here. No one wants to be last. How many of you in school wanted to be picked last for whatever was happening in recess or gym class or whatever when teams were being picked? Who wanted to be picked last? Nobody, except me, apparently. I'll put that down because I sure didn't want to be picked last. No one wants that. No one likes to be in even the bottom half of the group. We want to be closer to the front, except at church. These are the better seats. Just letting y'all know. We want the better seats. You go to a movie theater, right? Where does everybody sit? In the ideal seats. What do you pay more for when you go to a concert or the theater or the stage theater? Prime seating. You pay more for it, right? All of these things, we want to be in the best seat. People, we want to be noticed. Now, even if you think, I don't want to be noticed, think about when you go out, do you carefully consider what you're going to wear, especially if you're going to someone's house or a party or an event. Do you just throw on your sweatpants and your, you know, sweatshirt that's got a bunch of holes in it? I've got a great sweatshirt that has more holes in it than not, and it's wonderfully comfortable on a Saturday night when I'm just working on my sermon. It's fantastic. But I'm not wearing that out in public, mostly because Cindy would be really embarrassed and I would lose that comfortable sweatshirt really, really fast. We want to be noticed. And so we wear things that make us look better, right? We dress up. Even if we don't think we do, it's in the back of our minds. And as much as we want to move up the ladder, get ahead, we fear falling from that ladder, getting knocked off that ladder more. See, our pride won't take it. And in the instance of a party, this party, the people who are trying to figure out that exact balance, how to get the best position of honor without embarrassing themselves in the process. Maybe someone was shifting name tags. Maybe someone else was maybe you're going, oh, you got up to get a new glass of water and shwook into their seat. You know, maybe they just kind of scooched the chair over and added their own chair in at the right place. I don't know what they were doing. But I imagine in the midst of all of this, Jesus sitting in the lowest position of honor, laughing. Maybe not out loud, but laughing to himself as he's observing and watching all that's happening around him. While they're all watching him to see what he's going to do, he's watching them. And after watching all of this for a while, this jockeying for position, the bragging and the subtle and maybe not so subtle campaigning against one another, maybe even watching someone leave that party in shame because they had taken a position of honor and it had it taken away from them, and they maybe even left the party. Jesus decides to offer a word of advice to those who were left. Now picture the scene for the moment. Huge feast being put on for a special occasion. The host is someone important, and each guest wants to be seen as important too. The table, culturally, is set up in a U shape. And if you can picture that U shape, the bottom of a U, that's the head. That's the prime position. That's where the host would sit. And the closer you got to that spot, the more important you were. If you were on either of the ends, you were like, an inch away from being a servant. And everybody's trying to get into that spot, trying to figure out where they can have their celebrity status. And Jesus is the celebrity in the room, and he's sitting comfortably as far from the host seat as possible. And it's not because he dislikes the host. If he disliked the host, he wouldn't have been at the party. But it's because he is not at all concerned with things such as who gets the best seat. And when he speaks up, it is likely such a shock to hear someone from such a low position at the table speak that everyone stops to listen to what he says. Because if you were in that low position, you wouldn't say anything. You'd be embarrassed. You'd be hiding. You'd be thinking, man, I'm just glad I'm at the party. But Jesus speaks up and he says, you have a problem here. There's a tension in this room, and you're not going to figure out it's a human problem. I would like to provide for you a divine solution. And so he has a captive audience. And Jesus' solution is simple. He says, don't try to get the best seat and risk that someone more important than you might come later, but instead seek out the lowest seat. And it just might be that the host of the party will elevate you to a better seat. It's a simple, simple solution. And then after he gives that bit of advice, I think there's probably just silence as people process this radical thought through their mind. Jesus then turns to give advice to the person throwing the party, to not just fill the room with friends and family and rich neighbors. Now, I'm going to stop here. It's not in my notes, but a thought here. It's not bad to invite your friends to a party. Please invite your friends to a party. It's not bad to invite your family to a party. Have your family at a party. It's not bad to invite your neighbors to a party. That's not what Jesus is saying. But Jesus is saying if you only fill your guest list with people who will repay you by inviting you to their party, you have gained nothing. There is no reward in that. Because you see, when that happens, you get back into the human struggle. The human struggle at every party happens. You see, the stakes get higher. You invite so-and-so to your party, so-and-so invites you to their party, but they have to one-up you, but you have to show up looking better than they did to, and it's a vicious cycle. And Jesus just says, no. Invite people who can't pay you back. Invite people who aren't able to invite you back. Because in God's economy, the reward is far more valuable. You see, there's a paradox in all that Jesus is saying, and I asked Sharon about it, make sure I'm using the word right, because I wasn't sure. But there's a paradox in all that Jesus is saying, and it's simply, the paradox is that when you humble yourself, everyone wins. And I want you to hear that. Remember, not just you win, but everyone wins. See, in the case of putting someone ahead of yourself, in the example, again, of this party, taking a lower seat so that someone else can have the more prestigious seat, that person wins because they are given a place of higher honor and respect. So someone who comes into the party and is thinking, man, I'm just going to be at the bottom seat. I'm a nobody at this party. And you come along, maybe who deserve a higher seat, but say, you know what, friend, I want you to be noticed. Because why? You're valuable. You're important. Take this seat. I will take this lower seat. Being picked for teams at school, say, no. I would like to be picked last because I'd really like Bill over here to be picked third. Because I know Bill never gets picked third. And he'd be so excited to be able to be picked third. Let me go last. Bill wins. And Jesus says, so do you. You see, you win because you not only avoid the embarrassment of having to publicly give up your place to someone else, but you could very well gain the honor of being elevated beyond your current position, Jesus says. So again, go back to our schoolyard analogy. I want to be picked second. Why? Because I am the best kickball player this school has ever seen. And, you know, toot my own horn, I was really good. Until someone better than me came along. And then suddenly I got demoted. And no one wanted me on their team anymore. Because while I could kick the ball a mile, I couldn't catch the thing. That's not good. But if I'm not pushing myself, then I don't risk that embarrassment. You see, this promotion that happens is far more valuable and meaningful because it is not based on your word or your direct action, but on the host or your boss or the captain of the team or whomever it is that is making that determination, gifting you with a higher honor. It's someone else saying you are worthy of that. Not you tooting your own horn. It is on that person's word, and that will hold more weight than just yours alone. And it is on that that you are then judged and you are honored. We want to do our own promotion, just in case someone gets it wrong, just in case someone doesn't shine our reputation up well enough. But more often than not, it just comes off as being selfish bragging. And rather than impressing people, it turns them off. And we know those people. Perhaps maybe we have been those people. Maybe later today you will be that person. Jesus said, don't be that person. You see, for the party host, Jesus' words also act as a win-win. See, it is a win for those whom attending such an event would be out of reach for them. Imagine inviting someone to a party who never gets invited to the party. How would they feel? Like they won the lottery. Imagine what it would be like to include someone in your group who never gets included. Person at the office who no one ever talks to. The neighbor down the street who no one ever helps. It's like they've won the lottery. They win. They're treated with dignity and respect. And the reward for you as the host then, well, that reward is that God takes notice and sets aside, as Jesus says, a reward that is eternal and is satisfying. You see, if all one does is invite people who will invite them back, then that is all the reward you get. Just another party where you have to try and prove your importance to everybody else. Jesus' economy and his divine solution and his advice, he says, you don't have to prove anything by your actions that way. See, hearing all of this sounds like it should be a pretty easy thing to do. But the reality is it's not. We want to be noticed, even if for a brief moment. We boast in big and in little ways about the things we have done, the stories. Any fishermen out there? I caught one that was this big. It's fantastic. Almost broke my rod. It was huge. And then the alarm went off. And I realized that the minnow that I failed to catch earlier, I couldn't. We boast about these things, right? See, as kids, we always tried to get picked closer to the beginning than the end. We want people to like us. And even as happy as we can be that a coworker got the promotion, deep down inside, we wish we would have gotten it. And because we didn't, we think that lowers other people's estimations of us. Right? Doesn't. But we think it does. Because we tie so much of who we are and ourself into what we perceive other people think of us. And the position of importance, that celebrity status, where do we fit on the ladder and wanting to be higher up that. Well, I want you to remember one thing. I want you to remember that Jesus is looking at this with an eternal and with a divine perspective. Where will our actions take us in God's kingdom? That's the bigger question for us. Even if we get the lowest rung on the ladder in our lives, in our space here on earth, in eternity, God's got a bigger picture. And while the people around us might not notice, and while the people around us might not understand, just, we are great, you are great. And while they might not even notice that you did take a lower position, that you didn't get up past the second run, whatever it is, I want you to hear this. God is paying attention. And he does notice. And he makes careful note of the self-sacrifice and the obedience that you display in that. I remind us again, when Jesus noticed this party where it's a trap for him, and he's gotten out of that, and he's just observing going, Jesus noticed what people were doing. God notices what you're doing. Jesus notices what you're doing. You are not beneath his awareness and his notice. And out of all the people that I want to know what I'm doing to notice me, he's the number one guy. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would instill in us a quality of humility that is honoring to you, and that we would, and that you would just, that lifelong correction in us to be able to not elevate ourselves, but to elevate others. And we may not ever see any fruit from that in this life, but trust that you will see, and then you will find that honoring to you as we live in obedience to you in these things. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.